Welcome back to Fantasy Football Rants and Raves. This is Steven Miranda.
And this is Jeff Ellis.
And joining us from snowy Henderson, Nevada.
Snowy?
Michael Nazarek.
How you doing there, guys, Mike?
Can you believe this? I'm doing great. It's a winter wonderland here. We're talking, it's been 5 years since there's been any snow here. I mean, actually, they do get snow every once in a while. Like, once every 5 or 10 years, they get something here.
In the mountains.
We're talking eight inches of snow in Henderson.
Now, Mike,
Las Vegas, the
question, we're talking about the greater Las Vegas area. I've always wanted to be on the Strip during a snow flurry.
Not me.
I've always thought that'd be really cool to be on the Strip during snow flurries. The big question that all the listeners need to know is regarding
the Mastermind Edge.
Does the snow affect the Mastermind Edge? Does it take the edge off the Mastermind?
This time of year, it actually is a good thing.
Oh, it sharpens because, the edge. The edge gets razor sharp.
You say it sharpens the edge, yes. Because we get in such a grind, and we're coming to the end, and sometimes, you know, just kind of like, well, here we go, do this again and all. But it brings new perspective, and it kind of, you know how the snow just kind of covers over all the ugliness,
a multitude of
everything,
sins.
And makes everything look really nice and pretty. And I got a real calmness over this afternoon when I was watching the snow come down. So it made doing the rankings and writing the team capsules, which I'm still doing right now, a little bit of an easier chore to do.
Okay, so you went from
working work, busy bee,
to just Mr. Mellow Mastermind Edge, who sees things so clearly now.
I guess you might be able to say that. Of course, it also helps the fact that I'm in 3 expert league finals, so I'm very psyched about that.
I'm in 1 Super Bowl, and it's against our most generous show donor.
Nice.
So I don't know if I should throw the game as a way of saying thank you. I'm really in a bind.
You play to win. But we'll
throw a game.
We'll talk about those expert leagues as soon as we get back. Episode 2.21, the Week 16 playoff show, baby.
Hi!
Championship.
Bringing fantasy football to the world. It's Steven Miranda and Jeff Ellis with Fantasy Football Rants and Raves. Oh, well, I actually, however, don't feel like I have been focused these final few weeks. I've left far too many points on the bench.
Ooh.
And it cost me several.
Lots of bling.
Championships. Or getting to championships. So I only have 2 teams in championships.
Anytime you're in the finals of any league, you should be happy about that. I understand you. I'm just like you. I was in 8 leagues this year, so I'm in 3 finals. I mean, it's a pretty good percentage. But there's so many things that I say, well, good gosh, if I just started this kicker over this one and won this one game.
But Naz,
you know, what are you going to do?
I had 15 teams.
Yeah, 15.
8 of them were in the playoffs. So that's about half.
That's 50%.
8 of them were in the playoffs. Of the 8 that were in the playoffs, every single one of them, had I made one different
choice.
The choice.
I started Taster's choice.
They all go to the Super Bowl.
Man.
Every single one of them. But I decided, no, Marion Barber's going to play.
Oh.
Stick with your guns. And I played Barber instead of Tashard Choice, and it cost me in 6 out of the 8 leagues. So only 2 go on. The other 6 get burned.
They can set up their metaphoric golf times.
Yes, they can. I had the choice. And I did not use
the choice. You chose
and
it correctly.
It bit me in the buttocks. So
I think it bit you a little bit because you're such a big Cowboys fan, and if I had to start either Eli Manning or, you know, the backup or whatever, and it wasn't quite sure who was going to play or whatever, then, you know, maybe because I really like Eli, then maybe I might have been clouded by that judgment. So, you know, but
yeah,
you know,
I was clouded by the judgment. I really didn't look. I said, man, the rookie had a great game in Pittsburgh. I don't think he's going to duplicate it. Go with Barber. They've said he's going to play. They said he's going to start. And I should have just not done it.
Well, there's a reason that they had Julius Jones in there to begin with over Choice. You know, they had a choice to make, and they said, practice squad for you, Mr. Choice. And until Jones got hurt, and he got called up, and then Barber got hurt, and next thing you know, your rookie is in there at the star running back position for the Stars. And he's running his butt off, man.
Yeah,
he's making people look silly.
Great game. He had 22 points.
Sure did.
And I left those 22 points on the bench.
That hurts.
And it cost me dearly. Anyways, so tonight I am going to just let the mastermind himself give us all the information.
Well, first we should probably start with the NFL news because we have some huge NFL news.
The New Orleans Saints get some bad news. How about that?
Yep. And let's get started with this NFL news.
Ooh. Wow, is that the news or is this the news?
It just sounded a little bit more ferocious because this is
Ship All Banged Up.
Ship All Banged Up segment. Why don't you talk about it, Naz? The Saints have decided to shut down Reggie Bush and put him on the IR.
Yeah, Reggie went in for he dinged his knee again last week, and you know, when he was in the game, they pulled him out for most of the second half, and he went out and had an MRI done, and Dr. James Andrews down there in Birmingham, Alabama, you know, took a look at it and said sprained MCL and he shouldn't be playing on it the rest of the year, so they decided to shut him down. I think it was a smart decision. They're out of the playoff chase. They're not they can't make the playoffs. And it enables them also to take a really good look at Pierre Thomas. Once again, not like they haven't seen enough of him the last couple of weeks.
I've seen a lot of him.
Yeah, he's seen a lot of the end zone too, hasn't he?
Yeah, I've seen an awful lot to know that I'm very grateful that I picked him up.
Yes, and in one of the leagues that I did move on to the Super Bowl this week.
You own him?
No, I played against a fella who left Pierre Thomas
on the bench. Dude.
Oh, yes. So,
that's a way bigger mistake than leaving Choice on the bench. Yeah. Choice
that's
was a
right.
one-hit
you
wonder.
That's right. Be comforted in that. In the fact that sometimes other people make
bigger mistakes than me.
than yourself. Exactly.
Wow.
So there you go. There you go. Instead of the thousands and thousands of dollars I could have possibly won, I would just be winning several hundred.
But
hopefully.
That makes you both kind of boom.
Only day.
Yeah, it was tough. It was tough. So, definitely Pierre Thomas. Any other New Orleans Saints that we will want to upgrade by Reggie Bush not being in the lineup?
Well, yeah, they always like to dump off the ball, you know, out of the backfield there to Bush. And Lance Moore is definitely going to see more targets in the offense because they like to throw the short slants to him. And so Bush is not going to be in the game. Deuce McAllister, he had a setback on, you know, with his knee several weeks ago, and that's why he's been seeing only limited action here and there. He might not even play this week. You know, he's inactive last week. They've got Mike Bell, who they signed several weeks ago, and he's going to be, I believe, probably the primary backup. He'll be lucky to see a couple of carries and all. So basically they're going to be throwing the ball, and they're playing the Kitty Cats this week. So, you know, plenty of passes for Moore, plenty of passes for Colston, a lot of Pierre Thomas up the gut, and Drew Brees going to throw three touchdowns, and everybody's going to have a big gate. So if you got any of these Saints on your team, you better start them this week.
Question. Now, Naz, you are an admitted Giants homer.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so explain to me Jeremy Shockey's situation in this now as a tight end there in New Orleans, and if we can expect more out of him. Or was he overrated in New York, or was it that he played in such a big media market and he's really a middle-of-the-pack tight end? What's your take on that, being a Giants fan?
You know, it's interesting. He definitely has a lot of talent. He just can't seem to stay healthy. And I think he's the type of guy that really needs to be fed the ball on a consistent basis and really be involved in the game plan. And, of course, you know, he's like T.O. when he doesn't like, you know, he gets his way. Instead of really complaining to the media, although every once in a while he'll get that outburst, he kind of sulks. And there'll be times when he just doesn't, you know, give it his all. And I think Sean Payton knows when this is happening. And like last week, the guy only had one catch. And Billy Miller, once again, outproduced him with three catches. And I think that there's just times in the game when he doesn't seem to be involved, he kind of does a Randy Moss. He doesn't give it his full effort at all, and then he's just on the field. And sometimes they just pull him off and put Billy Miller in there. And so, in other words, until they find a solid role for him in that game plan, and he understands that, and also remember he was injured, you know, in the preseason. So it's not like they really had a really full big training camp to work out all these details. once they go through that and he's healthy and they get everything set, I think next year you're going to see much more defined and a much more happy Shockey if he can stay healthy, and he'll be much more involved in the game plan. Right now, it's a risk to start him if you got him on your team as a tight end. I think I got him ranked like 15th or something for the week.
Because, that's more or less what I was asking, is where do you actually put him, and do you put Billy Miller ahead of him?
Well, right now, for this week, I actually have Billy Miller one spot ahead of him, 13th and 14th.
Okay.
And they're basically in the fourth tier, and it's clearly below everybody else that, you know, right, is a very good start for the week. But you don't know what you're going to get. You could get shut out. And this is fantasy bowl time for most people out there.
Yeah, you can't take a zero in a position.
If you got somebody like Jeremy Shockey or Zach Miller, who is, you know, basically almost the entire passing game for the Raiders, other than the occasional score to the wide receiver, especially if you're in a PPR league where it counts for catches, you don't know how many catches Shockey's going to get. Anywhere from one or none to five. But right, with Zach Miller, you know you're always going to get 3 to 5, and with an outside chance of a score. And he's been, you know, anywhere from 50, 60, 70, 80 yards. So, I mean, I think it's a no-brainer. You would start Zach Miller over Jeremy Shockey.
Yeah, and right now I'm actually in one league. I'm starting Bo Scaife over Jeremy Shockey. So,
I tell you, there's another guy that's kind of fallen off the wayside.
He did.
I think he may have fallen off the wagon.
I still trust him over Shockey, though. I still trust him over Shockey.
But you're right in the fact that at least he's catching 2, 3, 4 passes a game, and also when they get around the goal line, they still do tend to look for him, although he hasn't scored in a while. But you know, he's at least healthy. And, you know, they of course they got Algie Crumpler there too, but he goes weeks without catching anything. So. But neither of those are really very good plays, but
no,
sometimes you got to go with what you got and stick them in there.
All right, let's go to your New York ties. Talk to us about Brandon Jacobs and his injury. What's going on there? Are we going to see him this week? Crucial game for the Giants against Carolina.
Yeah, I tell you, they really need to win a game because they've lost two in a row.
Uh-huh.
Like, boy, I guess they really did miss Plaxico Burress there. Really what they missed was the double teaming that Plaxico was pulling away from the other receivers. And also they seemed to get away from the running game. You know, remember they pounded the ball over Baltimore, and, you know, they didn't get a guy to rush for 100 yards, but they got like three guys to rush for 80 against them. So they really need to get back to pounding the ball. And Brandon Jacobs was a limited participant in practice today. It's looking like he's going to play this week. And now Derek Ward's got he's a little bit dinged up there too. And also Ahmad Bradshaw's got the neck. And so they're kind of sitting these guys, resting them and all. I think they're all going to practice later in the week, and probably all three are going to play. But they're going to try and get Brandon Jacobs heavily involved in the offense. And I think they're going to try and ram it down Carolina's neck early in the game. And hopefully that will be effective. Of course, that's what I'm hoping for since I'm a big Giants fan.
Sure.
All right. The Indianapolis Colts, who have a game tomorrow night on Thursday, today if you're listening to the show on Thursday, Marvin Harrison has been declared out for the game against Jacksonville. So do you see Anthony Gonzalez picking up the slack, and would he be a viable start this week?
Yes, you hit the nail right on the head. In fact, we release our rankings for our customers about noon Pacific time, and Harrison was still questionable.
Right.
I was like, well, he's going to get an MRI. They're talking about the knee, and then they said, wait a minute, it's a hamstring. And so, you know, we ranked him around 40th or so, and then we had Anthony Gonzalez a few spots behind. But when the news came out that he did go in for the MRI and he did not make the plane to Jacksonville for the game, so he's definitely out. So Anthony Gonzalez is expected to start. Dallas Clark is just seeing all kinds of targets. He's the big benefactor of everything right now. Reggie Wayne's picking it up a little bit. I think that Peyton Manning's having a good game, and I think probably Clark's going to score. There's a good chance that Wayne gets back on the scoreboard, and Anthony Gonzalez could very easily, you know, play a little bit the slot there. I know he's going to start for Harrison and all, but they're still going to use him the way they like to use him. And I think he definitely is a viable start this week.
Do you realize Dallas Clark out of the tight end position has more points than Marvin Harrison does as a wideout?
Oh, yeah.
It's very telling about Harrison's status and how his age has caught up with him and the injuries have caught up with him, and he is clearly on the downside of his career.
And remember, Dallas Clark, you know, that sprained MCL, and he missed, like, what, first two or three games of the season. So, you know.
Yeah, he didn't play weeks. He didn't really do anything week one or two. He barely played week week three, and then they had a bye.
Yep.
All right, huge
Clark
question.
Really
for
become
you.
Peyton Manning's safety valve, and he just, I mean, he will not hesitate to throw to him. What did he catch, like 10 passes last week?
12.
Yeah,
12.
I went against him in one game and survived barely, so, you know.
How about that Tavares Jackson, and do you pick him up and start him in your championship game this week?
No.
Tavares Jackson, what are you, crazy?
He threw four touchdown passes last week.
Yeah, like that's going to happen again.
He threw four touchdown passes against a team that basically didn't play, didn't show up to play. Arizona's famous for that now. They clinched the division, but they haven't really beaten anybody with a winning record in I don't know how many weeks.
Home more, though, on the road. My God, they're a disappointment.
See, the thing is that the Minnesota Vikings, I know they're playing at home this week, but they're playing Atlanta, and Atlanta is a playoff-quality team.
Yep.
And, you know,
they bring a good defense.
Their defense is not known for making very many big plays,
hey,
and it is on the road, but
they're
I think
stout.
If you're looking for Tavares Jackson really to throw more bombs for scores, you're going to be disappointed. I'd say he probably throws one score in this game, and that's not enough to start in a fantasy bowl.
Okay, good. I was just throwing a shot in the dark out there. Maybe somebody, somebody was struggling for a quarterback.
What's interesting about Tavares Jackson? So week one, 15 points. Week two, three, and then he's pulled. And then, you know, nothing. And then he's brought back in mid-game week 14 against Detroit, and he gets 8, and then he gets 22 last week. It is easily Steven's not smoking dope to go, well, I see a pattern here that when he's playing and when he's healthy, he's got and he gets additional reps during practice working with the first team. Right. He's somebody that you should take seriously.
The only problem is Childress hasn't decided yet if he's going to start him or not.
Oh, I didn't know that was even in play.
Yeah.
You know, you can't mess with the kid's psyche about that. What is it about these head coaches that do not understand the young mind of a developing quarterback and how you develop great leaders? It's not by screwing with their heads like that.
Sometimes, you know, the fans start screwing with the player's head. Remember in Tennessee, you know, when they started booing Vince Young?
I was wearing my VY jersey last night feeling badly for VY.
Well, he came in the game late the other game. It didn't look that bad.
No, he didn't, but that's my point. Has he learned anything from Kerry Collins, or has he just become embedded, you know, or just grateful for a paycheck? Who knows? But I just think about the great quarterback wasters like the Oakland Raiders that go and take Jamarcus Russell and just drive him into the ground. He truly could have been a special quarterback if he was in any other system with any other kind of coaching. But we'll never know.
All right, one more quarterback that I want to talk about. Trent Edwards, Bills quarterback,
coming back
this week to face a Denver team that defensively is just suspect.
It depends what week you catch him on.
Well, you're catching him this week.
Yeah, well, we don't know what that means, though. I mean, Trent was a very reliable, you know, kind of 9 points, 10 points a week per week average.
He was usually good for 200 yards and a score.
Right.
And
I need my quarterback getting 20 points. Don't
he started
you?
Struggling, and he got the groin injury. Well, he was limited, technically limited in participation today, but they think he's ready to go. He's going to ramp it up later this week. And, of course, the big news there is that, you know, they demoted J.P. Losman to the number three quarterback position, and, you know, the team's out of the playoffs. So, you know, they're just going to finish up the last two games here, and then Losman's going to be cut loose. They asked him, they said, you think he's going to come back? And he said, you wanted out of Buffalo for the longest time. He goes, yeah, I'll come back if they franchise me. And I was like, of course, because it's $10 million a year, but they're not going to want to franchise.
JP Law.
You don't franchise a man who goes by Lost Man.
Relegated to third string behind Gilbert Hamden.
I'm Ooh. Sorry?
Yeah.
Ooh. What? Where?
Gilbert
Hamden. Yeah, I saw
Hamden.
That, too.
Let's put Naz on the spot here. What college did he go to, if he did?
Oh, don't do that to Dad.
Oh, can't do that.
That's how random this guy is.
I can tell you.
Rather than the backup quarterback for the Bills.
You can tell me because you're looking at a webpage.
It doesn't tell me. It just says his name
It
right
doesn't
there.
Say where he's from?
No, it doesn't.
Okay.
I can tell you.
Okay, where did he go?
I believe he's from Indiana.
Okay.
So look it up.
Look it up.
Okay. Gibran Handman is now going to be the backup quarterback in Buffalo. I believe he's from Indiana. Nah, I'm pretty sure he's from Indiana.
Okay.
So there you go. So any other quarterbacking news that you want to give us there, Naz?
I'm trying to think off the top of my head here.
You look up Handman Gilbert, and all you get is Handyman's named Gilbert. That's how huge he is.
Handyman. And Matt
Garcia was limited. Jeff Garcia in Tampa Bay was limited today. But they he said before practice that he thought that he was going to be able to play this week. And I really think that Farratt's not going to play. I think Tavares Jackson's going to start because he's got that lower transverse fracture in his back, and I just don't see him coming back. Hasselbeck's not going to play this week. Matt Hasselbeck in Seattle. His homegrown's already said he's going to be the number three quarterback there, so Seneca Wallace gets another start. Carson Palmer in Cincinnati is out. By the way, Hushman that sat this today, but I think it's just a rest. He had a hand issue, so I think he's going to be good to go.
And speaking there of Cincinnati, Carson Palmer said that he might try and throw this week. Do we know anything about that?
No, it was throw up, not throw.
he threw a little bit last week. And right on game day, he threw. And he said, okay. And then they said, well, let's see how it progresses in the week. And obviously it didn't progress enough because they listed him as out. So I don't see any reason for him to come back and play in the finale next week because, we're talking about a team that's, 2-11-1?
Right. That is correct.
Well, let me tell the Buffalo Bills fans a little bit about Gilbrand Handman. He's a good physical specimen. He is 6'4", 220, and he's a local product out of San Diego, and he did play in Indiana.
There you go.
It's his second year out, and so there you go. He's been bumped up to the number two on the depth chart, and you're not going to start him anywhere, but now you know a little bit about him. Gilbrand Handman.
There you go.
I had trouble finding anything on him.
Don't tell me what. Don't even ask me why I know he's.
Yeah, I would like to. I was a little curious. You don't spend a lot of time in Greater Indiana. Last I checked.
I am becoming a college ball guy too.
Why?
I don't know.
It's not as cool as the NFL. Same close.
I have a question to ask you, Naz, and I don't mean to put you on the spot here, but talk to me about your boy Steven Jackson, who just hurt some people this year. Let's just put it that way. Did he hurt you?
Well, yeah, I had him on half my teams, but it's interesting that in two of the three teams that I'm in Fantasy Bowls this week, he's on the team. So, fortunately for me, I've got depth of position, so when he gets up, I plug in another player and then come back to him and whatnot. So,
do you start five running backs in that league? I'm just curious.
So you must have had you must have had good other running back options, though.
Yeah, Thomas Jones and Michael Turner.
Well, there you go. Well, I think actually if I had those three guys, I'm pretty sure I'm starting Thomas Jones and Michael Turner over Steven Jackson anyways.
Yeah.
And the other one I had MJD and Steven Jackson, and then I picked up Kenneth Darby and Antonio Pittman, and I had a good strong enough wide receiver core and Phillip Rivers that carried me through the weeks that
what in the world was that for?
Why are you booing me?
That was actually that was actually an accident, I apologize profusely. That was an accident.
All right, and real quickly before we're gonna get some of your ideas of who to click and who to flick this week for championship fantasy football week. Talk to us about Joseph Addai. I understand he's been missing some time, and Dominic Rhodes has become the guy there for a little while. What do we know about Addai this week on Thursday Night Football against the Jags?
Well, he's questionable, and he's a game-time decision with a shoulder injury. Boy, I tell you, it's really 50-50 whether he's going to play or not. I think basically what's going to come down to is they're going to work him out in pregame. If he looks good and feels good and says, hey, I'm good to go, then they're going to start him. But they're going to have Dominic Rhodes there to relieve him, spend significant time on the field, and they're probably going to share the carries there. I think it's more, just as likely that Addai's not going to play. And then if that's the case, Rhodes is going to start, and then he becomes – a solid number two, fantasy running back against the Jags that can be run on. And so it's kind of been a weird year. Joseph Addai just has not looked very good. Only in a couple of games has he really, looked explosive and had multiple scores. And in most of the other games, he's puts up his little 60, 70 yards and four or five catches, 20, 30, 40 yards and maybe a score. But he's been kind of a disappointment. And I wouldn't expect a big game out of him tomorrow night.
Is it just me, guys, or do you just hate the term game time decision?
It's irritating.
Yeah.
Especially when you have games on Thursday, Saturday, Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon, Sunday night, and Monday night.
Yeah.
And so it's not like they all start at the same time, so you can wait for that game time decision. Yeah. I had the game time decision with Marion Barber and Taster's Choice,
right,
where at least they were interchangeable.
Yeah, they were on the same team.
So it's so like, okay, I can do this. I know I'm going to start one of them. It's whom am I going to start? And but rarely
you got
do you get
a game
that
time decision on a late game. It's going to be very tough because most rules and most leagues, you have to have your complete lineup and turned in by 1 p.m. Eastern time on Sunday. So if you've got so that's why I always tell my subscribers, I hate to say it, but if somebody's the game time decision and it doesn't look like he's got a good chance to sit, you can't risk taking a zero. So you just got to sit him. And and with Clinton Portis, how many times has that happened this year where it looked like he wasn't even going to play and then he played? So you just got to take your medicine there and hopefully if you've got good backup,
roll the dice.
It's not going to hurt you as much.
Check
roll
this out, dice. Pierre Thomas. I know we're going backwards a little bit here, but 16th in scoring, 145 points from running backs. And that is, who would have predicted that at the beginning of the season? I mean, that I'm going to take Pierre Thomas, he's going to be my running back too, and I'm going to dominate all my fantasy football leagues.
Well, I'm not sure Thomas was drafted in a lot of leagues.
Well, that's exactly my point, is that I'm not even sure how many leagues he's even still owned in, frankly.
He was drafted in a lot of leagues as a late-round sleeper.
He's
and then
still
remember,
78%.
The season, we weren't sure if Deuce McAllister was going to play, and he actually got a lot of playing time early on, and then there was a stretch of games. Remember when Deuce came back and played, and Pierre was like almost inactive for two, three, four games.
That
in
was
a row.
Week four, five, but, six, and seven.
There you go, and then but then of course week eight is when Deuce had the setback with his knee,
and then they had the bye week.
There you go.
And then boom.
And then Pierre Thomas, what has he been, at least 10 points every week? Pretty much.
He's been averaging approximately 18 points a week since then.
There you go.
And again, 78% owned. That is just that for a top 16 running back.
Yep.
That's insanity.
Well, those other percentage of the leagues, they're done. They're not paying attention anymore in those leagues.
I guess they're not
a
managing.
A lot of leagues don't allow waivers also in the playoffs. So, they get to week 13 or 14 and
you're
then
locked.
They set everything set and everything's locked. And so Pierre might be sitting out there and then
true.
He has great games in week 14 and 15 and then people can't pick him up.
That's a very good point. In fact, we got to decide if we're going to do our leagues differently next year.
Well, maybe. But for now, it's time to...
How do I win a Super Bowl, Mike?
Look at some players. Look at some players that we're going to be clicking for championship weekend. And some players that just sit them. Sit them. I know it's championship weekend, but you got to do
but
without
dang
them.
It, the matchups stink.
Click some flicks. How about a quarterback or two that we should definitely
run
make
like
sure know we are
oh, we're
we
starting?
Are clicking yes okay. that we are starting.
Yeah, I wanted to do this a little bit differently, and so I know I'm forcing the guys to do this, but I said what the heck, it's the last one. Let's do a little differently. You guys can do like a click and a flick, or just a flick if you want. But I've got a group of names at each of the quarterback, running back, wide receiver, and tight end positions that I think have really good matchups, and that people might have these guys on their bench, and it might not be their top guy at that position, but I think really deserves consideration, especially if one of their guys is hurt, or maybe they can make free agent moves like I can in one of my leagues, and I actually picked up one or two of these players this week, and I plan to start them, much like Deshaun Foster, but we'll get to him in a little bit. But a quarterback, I like Matt Castle in New England, of course. The guy's been – he's how many games now has he thrown four touchdowns in? At least, I think, three of them. And he's getting Arizona at home this week. So, he's going to be throwing the football all over the place. So he's in my number six for the week right here. Matt Schaub in Houston has been playing well. He's been hooking up all over the field with Andre Johnson. They're playing Oakland. Now you say, well, they got Nambi, and I believe it is pronounced Oshimaga. I heard this on the TV.
You could just say OMG for the kids.
So yeah.
Omga.
So anyway, Nnamdi doesn't follow someone all over the field. Last week, Randy Moss scored twice, and Wes Welker scored once. So, you know, not Nnamdi can be beaten, you know, with a combination of both these players, and I think with Walter and Johnson that Schaub has an excellent chance to throw 2+ TDs. Now, over in St. Louis, Sean Hill and the 49ers are coming into town. That's right, and Frank Gore's dinged, you know, with the ankle. They're not sure whether he's going to be playing. So Sean Hill's going to be throwing against the Rams. They can't stop anybody. I think at least, you know, at least a touchdown or two in this game, maybe even three. But, I mean, I would think two is pretty solid. And I'm telling you, if you got Isaac Bruce on your team, you got to start him this week. And I'm starting him in one of mine because this is a payback. This is a payback game. The Rams cut him.
Yep.
And he signed with the 49ers. And he's got his, you know, Mike March, the offensive coordinator there with the 49ers.
Beautiful.
He got the game plan dialed up. So I expect two scores from Sean Hill this week. And one other guy at the quarterback position, Matt Ryan, didn't have a good game last week. They're playing Minnesota on the road. When they have a little bit of trouble running the ball, you know, Michael Turner's all-world god at home. He's been scoring multiple times at home. I mean, ran all over Tampa Bay last week. This week they're playing Minnesota. I know they don't have Pat Williams, so Turner's going to have some success, but I think they're going to have to throw the ball to win the game, and I think that means Matt Ryan throws a touchdown to Roddy White and one to Michael Jenkins, so I would give him extra consideration. Those are my four. So whatever you guys got from quarterback, let's hear it.
Well, you know, I'm leery of Eli this week starting. I don't necessarily like the matchup that much against Carolina. Carolina's defense has looked ferocious of late. And they're playing clearly with a mission in mind of they are going to the playoffs, period, and home field will go through us, period. And John Fox seems determined, and he's got everybody on board on that. And the Giants are stumbling right now. So I'd be very, very cautious about playing Eli Manning this week.
He's just barely in my top 20. I mean, not even a consideration for fantasy start. I mean, without Plexico Burress, really, you would think, well, Dominic Hickson's going to step up, right? Yeah, he let a bomb go right through his hands. I mean, the kid doesn't seem to be ready for prime time when he's depended upon to make the plays. And Amani Toomer seems to be slowly being phased out. Steve Smith's getting a little bit more looks, but he's like a slot receiver. So you're right. Where's the big plays going to come from? And then, you know, Kevin Boss, well, they've been using him to block because that's right. They need to pick up the running game. So I completely agree with there. Probably one touchdown at most against Carolina.
On the positive side of the fence, I'm really high on the Pigpen, Tyler Thigpen in Kansas City. I think that with the shakeup in the general manager's office, that sent a shockwave through that clubhouse that said that, guys, nobody is untouchable here. And so I think Thigpen clearly is going to stick around for a long time, but Herm Edwards on down, people know that this organization is not going to take losing lightly, and I think he responds against Miami and has a very good game at home.
Right. I don't know. Miami's tough.
Miami is tough.
The quarterback I think that you don't think about this week is Tennessee Titans quarterback Kerry Collins. Swim against the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Ooh.
The Steelers have been making quarterbacks look bad.
They've been making them look like Mr. Bill.
That's
okay. I'll make shoes. Whatever.
What the hell did that mean?
That was, you know, whatever happens to him, he's like, that's okay. I'll do this with it. Or
I didn't know
that. That's okay. I'll do this. That's the thing about Mr. Bill is, He always finds the silver lining. The good and whatever happens, whatever something bad always happens to him, but he always finds something good about
the
it.
Pot
well,
of
when
gold
you're
clay, at the end
you can always
rainbow.
Put yourself back together.
That's
right?
True. That's
only so many times though.
When
until
you're
you
clay,
look all gray.
But no, Kerry Collins definitely he's going to struggle. He struggled last week against the Texans, and trust me, the Steelers are just a little bit tougher.
Oh, yeah.
Than the Houston Texans.
Oh so. Yeah.
I wouldn't start him if you got him.
Man, Kerry, that's going to be I can't wait for some of these games this
gonna
weekend.
It's going to be good. How about running backs?
Well, of course, the top of my list here actually is number 3 on my rankings this week's Pierre Thomas. I mean, that's a no-brainer against the Kitty Cats. I would expect to see for him to see at least 95% of the touches out of the backfield for that team. And I wouldn't be surprised if he runs for two or three scores in that game. Sammy Morris with New England. There, once again, it's going back to New England here against Arizona. You can run. What Adrian Peterson had almost 200 yards against them. Even if, with Kevin Faulk, they're seeing a significant action, and then Lamont Joyney coming in and, you know, mopping it up. I think Sammy Morris is good for 100 yards.
Naz, I've got to ask you.
The Cardinals this week.
I have to ask you about New Orleans running backs. They have burned me more often than I can count this season. I never seem to start the right guy. I mean, how is it that you're supposed to know who's going to get the touches and who's going to get the goal line carries when it is far from a given with this trio?
You're talking about New England running backs.
Yeah, New England. Did I
know? You said New Orleans.
It's a two-letter word that starts with new.
New England running backs.
Sorry about that. My bad. New England.
There now. It's been established the last couple of games with Sammy Morris.
Do you think
again.
It goes Morris than Faulk?
Kevin Faulk is the relief guy and also comes in. See, when they're like near the goal line, if it's second or third down and five or six, you're probably going to see Kevin Faulk in the game. If you're first and goal at the three or four, you're going to see Sammy Morris in the game. If you're first and goal at the three with like 5 minutes left to go in the game and it's 30-3, you're going to see Lamont Jordan in the game. So, you know, I think that obviously Morris and Faulk are much better plays than Lamont Jordan at this point. And, you know, but then again, we are dealing with Bill Belichick here. But, you know, I've just been going on watching how he's been managing these three guys the last couple of weeks, and that's how it's been looking.
Yeah, he hasn't changed things up a whole lot. Once he's settled in on a groove of how he's going to deploy his guys, he pretty much sticks
to it. That's right.
He won't tell you about
Cincinnati,
it.
In Cincinnati, you got Cedric Benson last week over, 150 yards last week. He just, you know, broke out. Finally had a good game against a non-murderous row opponent in Washington who was slumping. And this week, he gets the Browns. So if you got Cedric Benson on your team and maybe he's your third running back and your number two is somebody like maybe Marion Barber, who's kind of, you know, injured and going against Baltimore this week, then I would probably play Cedric Benson over him. I've already mentioned Deshaun Foster against the Rams. That's a good play right there. If he starts, he had over 100 total yards last week. Against the Rams, he might even score. Down in Tampa Bay, Cadillac Williams is getting more carries than work done lately. He's got the score last week. He's playing San Diego. They can't seem to stop very many people. Got a couple more names for you real quick. Darren McFadden for Oakland. He's getting the call near the goal. They're going to be playing Houston at home. And so if they get around that area, I think he's going to score. And a guy's probably no one's ever talked about, but who else is going to carry the ball? I know everyone says, well, Taysom Hill. Taysom Hill sucks. P.J. Pope got the score last week. He had more yards than Taysom Hill playing a backup role, and they're going to split the carries there. You know how Shanahan is against that. They're playing at home against Buffalo, and I think if they get near the goal, that Pope's going to get the score rather than Hill.
All hail the Pope.
Wow, okay. Lots of running backs there that we're talking about.
Yeah, I just want to point out Steve Slayton, a name that fantasy owners should be extraordinarily familiar with by now.
Yes.
But if not, going against Oakland this weekend, he's going to put up at least 20 points.
Oh, the Raiders.
I agree with that. He's in my top five.
Man, that's his no-brainer.
Yeah, I'm thinking I might put up 12 to 14 points against the Raiders.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, you could do it playing Flamingo style with one leg tied behind your back. Just jumping around on one leg.
Hopping on one leg. Oh, the Raiders.
You see Lamont Jordan rip off that long run against Oakland. It looked like he was running in quicksand, and yet he ran 49 yards for a score.
Did he get called back for a penalty?
No.
Because that's the thing about Oakland.
It did count, but if you go back and watch the NFL Network, you'll see it. He didn't exactly look like
a gazelle.
Chris Johnson on that run.
A fleet-footed gazelle.
Real quickly, let's finish it out with some wide receivers and tight ends.
Okay. Well, I've already mentioned Lance Moore here. He's going to be seeing more looks, you know, from Drew Brees in the passing game without Reggie Bush, so that's a given to start him. He's in my top 20 this week. Braylon Edwards, believe it or not, of course, you know, they say play him on Monday night because he got his third 100-yard game for the total of more than 300 yards in three games on Monday night. They're playing Cincinnati this week, and I know Ken Dorsey sucks, but for some reason he can at least get the ball close to Braylon Edwards.
He does. He sometimes catches it.
You saw that, didn't you? He can reach up and actually make a catch. He still drops a few here and there. He dropped 20, but, you know, he's caught like 40, 50 passes this year. So, you know, I think against Cincinnati there's a good chance he might pop one for a score. This is a guy that I normally don't like at all, but Deion Branch is at least – getting some yards. They're playing the Jets at home. The Jets, of course, I'm pulling for them big time, but this is another East Coast team going to the West Coast. Normally don't play very well. The defense has just been giving up a lot of yards, especially in the air. I think Deion Branch has a decent chance to score. I think you're probably looking at least 60, 70 yards there. In Jacksonville, everyone thought Mike Walker was going to start and be the guy with Matt Jones out. No, he didn't hardly even play last week. Dennis Northcutt had the big game, and they like his explosiveness, and this is tomorrow night against Indianapolis. They're going to have to throw in order to beat the Colts. I think Dennis Northcutt's going to put up a pretty good game.
They'll be
and, of
trailing.
Course, the last guy on my list, other than Anthony Gonzalez, because Marvin Harrison is out, would be Chris Henry with Cincinnati. Finally made an impact last week with a score. He's playing the Cleveland Browns. Heck, I don't know. They might actually score 20 points apiece in this game, and you might see Cedric Benson and Chris Henry score, and then Braylon Edwards score in the same game. And
I don't know about that.
Well, and just to make your point that you were talking about the Jets, they've come out here three times. They lost at San Diego. They lost at Oakland, and they lost at San Francisco. So
I don't know what Brett doesn't do sushi, I guess, is what it all comes down to.
He's coming down to – well, he's coming at least to the Pacific Northwest where it'll kind of be wet and the weather will be more like New York style. So,
more like New York.
Well, and he's
going to
be playing against Holmgren.
Yeah, and he'll be playing against his old coach. So maybe he'll do something to win the game. But if they lose to Seattle – ouch.
Yeah.
I know. You're right. So who do you guys think is going to do good or bad at wide receiver this week?
Jeffrey?
You know, what's been disappointing for me has been to watch the significant fall off of Steve Breston in Arizona. I really thought that he earned his role as the number three slot guy that was going to win. Because with Fitzgerald and Baldwin being number one and two in wide receivers, that leaves plenty of points out there for others in Arizona. But Arizona, I don't know what's up with them. Since they got the division, they're like, 8-8's plenty good for us. And we know we're not going to win a playoff game. So we're kind of done, aren't we? I mean, I don't know. It's become like preseason in Arizona, hasn't it?
You're right. They're throwing to Jermaine Hurban.
Jermaine Hurban and his 12 monkeys.
You mean Jeremy Urban? Yep.
Fine. But okay. Steve Breston, I was getting so high on and being able to rely on for those 9-10 points when I was really hard up because of a bad matchup. I could go to Steve Breston off the bench, and he could get me 10 points from the wide receiver slot. That's not the case anymore. And this week, with them going against New England, forget about it. Forget about it.
All right.
There's one other guy real quick I wanted to mention, to stay away from. And I tell you, I was telling this guy like 4 weeks ago because he was scoring and catching passes. Mark Bradley has fallen off the face of the planet.
Oh, he's Mr. Irrelevant.
Boy, what a short impact for like three games, and then all of a sudden he's got the calf injury, and he's active and going to start, doesn't even get a target, and then they sit him down for 1 week, he comes back, and he plays again, and he doesn't get anything again.
Yeah. And they're like, we can move on without you, but aren't you going to give me a chance? No.
Wow.
Yeah, this has been one of the strange, I've only been playing fantasy football 3-4 years, but this has been the strangest season I've ever seen.
All right, strange seasons.
Strange seasons indeed.
Tight ends.
Okay, tight ends.
Impossible
to
get points.
Four here I want to mention real quick. John Carlson in Seattle has been
absolutely
amazing.
Money.
Money, money, money. They get around the goal line. If they don't run it in, they actually throw it in, and John Carlson catches it.
How's
so
this for
in
a 4-week?
My top five, actually number four for the week against the Jets. I think he's going to score.
Let me give you his numbers here for the last 4 weeks. Washington, 7 points. At Dallas, 10 points. Home, New England, 12 points. At St. Louis, 7 points. You can just count on it. Boom, boom, boom.
That's not PPR, right?
That's not PPR. That's straight up. You start adding – if you're in a PPR league, forget about it. He is the leading receiver for Seattle. So,
Jan Carson, definitely. I went up and I picked him up in a couple leagues, and he's certainly helped here.
It's nice to be able to count on a tight end to get you 8 points a week at least, and that's rare these days.
Of course, I mentioned Zach Miller in Oakland. He's got a good matchup against Houston. Now, in fact, before I mention the other two guys, I wanted to ask you two for your opinion on this because I've got this choice in one of my finals this week. My two tight ends. This is not a PPR, so this is just basic scoring, straight up yardage, 1 point for every 10 yards. And 6 points for a score. Who do you start between these two tight ends, Zach Miller in Oakland or Owen Daniels for Houston? They play each other this week out on the West Coast.
I'd take Owen Daniels.
I would play Zach Miller.
Why? Explain. Give me your quick.
Go ahead. Point
why.
Counterpoint. Steven, begin. Well, Zach Miller.
Zach Miller's just lately is becoming Jamarcus Russell's security blanket,
and he needs one badly.
And Jamarcus Russell he checks down, and he will get 3-4 catches, maybe four or five catches for around 30-40 yards. So he's not going to put up a zero, but he's not going to put up 10 points. But he will get you 4 or 5 points every week.
My counterpoint to that is simply that he hurt his back last week a little bit, and I'm not sure that he's 100% healthy. And that's what leans me towards the Houston direction with Owen.
But Owen Daniel hasn't been
target. He hasn't been very relevant.
Main target. So,
well, I mean, do you want an injured guy? I mean, because he got his back racked. He's going to be in there.
I believe, you're right in the fact that Zach Miller was limited in practice today. And so I caught that myself, and I was looking at that. And I was kind of leaning towards Zach only because he's been a little bit more consistent.
He has been.
With Owen started off so hot, but then he went through a 5-game stretch where he's catching 1 or 2 passes a week. Now, the last couple of weeks, he's done okay, 4 and 6 points. But, you know, he can always, you know, it's funny. With Owen Daniels, you either get a lot or you hardly get nothing. With Zach Miller, when he's healthy, you always get 6, 7, 8, somewhere around there. So it's going to be interesting. I'm still kind of waffling back and forth.
Well, it seems what's interesting is that I really did believe that with Shaw back in the lineup that his production would go up for Owen Daniels. Yeah. But it's been exactly the same as when Parsley, Sage, Rosenfeltz was in there. And, you know, in the PPR leagues, there's not even an upside for those who are wondering about him in that because he does a lot of blocking, right. And he's only getting a few balls. But I think against Oakland, I haven't looked at Oakland's points against versus tight ends. That would be the main thing that I would probably go off of when you've got something that close, especially with an injury. Yeah.
Tight ends that I don't like this week.
Most
I
of
don't
them.
Like. That's right. But I don't like Anthony Fasano. In Miami, he's been so wishy-washy and late.
He's window dressing.
Besides, did you see that catch that David Martin, the other tight end, made last week, and then took it in for the score?
Yeah,
it was a
68 yarder, right?
Over the defender, and then he rambled in, and he actually outran a corner to the end zone.
Yes, he did.
It was awesome.
Yeah. So Anthony Fasano is just not viable.
Put it this week. Put it this way with Fasano. Over the last 3 weeks, 6 catches.
There you go.
Okay.
Not per week. For
no,
the
that's
entire
total.
3 weeks.
Total.
Yeah,
total.
Yes. So.
Well, you know what, guys? What I'm going to do is probably going to watch it. See, just like I tell my subscribers, watch the injury report. I want to see how Zach Miller, if he increases or if he decreases, his practice reps and all, and then just go on a gut feeling. You know, you go on your gut feeling when you're starting your in your fantasy bowl. You start your studs. But when you got a close decision like that, you go with your gut, because if your gut comes through, then you feels that much better. But when it doesn't, you say, well, I felt like this. But if you go against that and you go on somebody else's opinion and it doesn't work out, you might be kicking yourself for the entire offseason. Anyway, before we end the tight ends, I wanted to go over two more suggestions on the same team, believe it or not. You know, we're talking about the points against for tight ends. San Diego can't stop anybody. Who they're playing this week? Tampa Bay, down in Tampa. Jeremy Stephens and Alex Smith. Now, Alex Smith's coming off that ankle injury still, but they're kind of sharing time. I think both these guys could actually almost find the end zone this week. It's going to be it's just an interesting sleeper play. They're not anywhere close to my top 10.
Who are we talking about?
We're talking Jeremy Stephens and Alex Smith, tight ends.
The two tight ends for the Tampa Bay Bucks.
Yeah. Well, you're right. San Diego gives up 10.6 points per week at the tight end.
They give up a lot
against
the tight end.
That's traditional scoring.
I just got a gut feeling that one of these guys is going to score this week. I don't know quite sure which one. Maybe I'd lean a little bit towards Jeremy Stephens because he's getting more catches recently. But, if you do have issues at the tight end, and maybe you only do own Zach Miller, but you can make a move and Zach Miller, sits the end of this week. Maybe pick up Jeremy Stephens and start him instead. I can't make moves in that league, so I can't. I've got to choose between Daniels and Miller. But one of these guys could score. I just got a gut feeling one of them's going to score. It's probably going to be Stephens, but
all right,
we'll see.
Okay.
Any other final notes for Week 16 Championship Weekend in fantasy football?
What a season.
Well, what, like I said, is, and I give this advice every year, and it's really comes from the gut. You do go with your gut. Always start your studs and go with your gut feeling on the tough choices. You know, that's a lot of people.
But that's what Steven did with Barber.
Who do I start this week? You gotta go with your gut feeling here. And more often than not, it ends up being the right decision.
And sometimes it's the wrong choice.
But every once in a while it is. All right. That's
Tashard Choice or Taster's. Is that his nickname now? Tashard Taster's Choice?
Exactly.
Tashard Taster's Choice.
I'm sorry. I like that nickname. For those that are the younger variety, Taster's Choice was something that they used to call instant coffee. And you would.
Do they not make that anymore?
I suppose they do, and they sell it in old people stores. But my dad used to drink it every morning for breakfast.
I don't drink coffee, so but I just remember the commercial.
You would boil water, and then you take a spoonful of this brown junk, and you stir it around, and now you have coffee.
Nice.
It's like, wow.
Yes, instant coffee.
It was horrible.
Yes, that's right.
And it left all
my
this.
My 88-year-old mother drinks it, yeah.
Sure. There was Taster's Choice, and then there was the other competing brand. Folgers had one. Folgers Crystals.
Folgers, yeah.
And it literally
left.
It left little rocks at the bottom when you're done with the cup. It just makes you appreciate Starbucks and Pete's Coffee all that much more. So, that being said, it's been a heck of a year. Mike, thanks.
Naz, once again, we appreciate you being on the show. Why don't you tell us, you're starting your rebuy, right?
Renewals.
Your renewals. You want to talk about that real quick before we?
Yes. For all the subscribers out there, we do this every year, but of course, you know, because of the economy this year, we started a little bit earlier, and of course, we're drawing away for 30 T-shirts. We cut the price down. Pro Bowl package $35.95. Super Bowl package $49.95. If you renew before the end of the year, your name's going to be thrown in. We're going to send off 30 T-shirts. And, you know, we really appreciate everybody's, business throughout the years. The economy, I know, is kind of down, but everyone wants to get away from their problems and all. And the best way to do that is with fantasy football. And, you know, I work 18 hours a day. I'm not going to be doing that for a little bit here come January, which is kind of nice and all. And, I appreciate everything, all my subscribers. And then we can, you know, cut the price down significantly. So they can lock in at the best rate. And we're already pumping out the rookie quick bits. You know, Perry Bird's been doing the rookie quick bits since, start of December. And, he's covering all the incoming rookies, the injuries, he's going to be covering all the bowl games. And then, and then, of course, we move into the combine, and we do the whole thing over again.
Keep Perry well-fed and watered, because I die without him. Since I don't watch college football, I just have to trust Perry to do all my homework for me.
Yeah,
and I religiously.
There's a big bonus check with his name on it that I'm going to be sending out to him next week, and so everybody. That's what I say is, if people come back like they do, then I help people win. They allow me to make a living doing this, and it's great. It's a big cycle, and we don't want that to end anytime soon, because I'd like to retire doing this in maybe another 15, 20 years,
Well, Michael, what I appreciate most is I know that Wednesday night especially is one of the busiest nights of your week. And so for you to take time out to be with us is, I am very, very appreciative of that.
Once again, Michael Nazarek with us, snowy Henderson, Nevada, from Fantasy.
The only time we'll be saying that.
Exactly. Fantasy Football Mastermind. Check him out. www.ffmastermind.com. Thanks a lot, Mike.
Thanks, guys, and we'll see you next year. Good luck to everybody in their fantasy bowl. And whether you win or lose, it's all about playing the game. It's been a great fantasy season.
That's right.
We will definitely do this again next year.
Go have fun. Jeffrey, you are in how many Super Bowls?
I'm in one.
In our RIR leagues?
One.
Okay, I'm in one RIR. Are we going to decide, if we win?
Yeah.
Do we still give out the T-shirt to the?
We get
team?
It ourselves. These are damn fine T-shirts. I'm wearing one right now.
Yeah, but did you win that one? There you go. All right, thank you for
the T-shirt.
This has been Steven Miranda
and Jeff Ellis,
and out there, who
Mike
we got?
Nazarek.
Mike Nazarek. That's right, the Naz himself. for fantasy football.
We got to do it for him one last time because he likes it too much.
The Mastermind Edge.
Nice.
Yeah.
Good night, everyone.
Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to all.
And good luck with your teams.
God bless us, everyone.